وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ إِذَا دَعَانِ فَلْيَسْتَجِيبُوا لِي وَلْيُؤْمِنُوا بِي لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْشُدُونَ أحل لكم ليلة الصيام الرفث إلى نسائكم هن لباس لكم وأنتم لباس لهن علم الله أنكم كنتم تختانون أنفسكم فتاب عليكم وعفى عنكم فالآن باشروهن وابتغوا ما كتب الله لكم وكلوا واشربوا حتى يتبين لكم الخيط الأبيض من الخيط الأسود من الفجر ثم أتموا الصيام إلى الليل ولا تباشروهن وأنتم آكفون في المساجد تلك حدود الله فلا تقربوها كذلك يبين الله آياته للناس لعلهم يتقون.
الحمد لله وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. In the name of Allah, the most gracious and the most merciful. May the peace and blessings of Almighty Allah continue to be on the last of His messengers and the seal of His prophet, our leader Muhammad ibn Abdullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And may the peace and blessings be extended to cover all members of His household, as well as all of his companions, and whoever follows their footsteps until the day of resurrection. Ameen. Tafsir al-Qur'an al-Kareem. By the grace of Almighty Allah, this is going to be another teaching of interpreting, explaining, commenting on the meanings of the words of Almighty Allah. Yesterday we were on verse number 186. We took part of this verse, but we were unable to complete it because of the time constraint. And insha'Allah ta'ala, that same verse will be the starting point of today's tafsir. May Almighty Allah make it easy for us. In this verse, Almighty Allah says, وَإِذَا سَأَلَكَ عِبَادِي عَنِّي فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ أُجِيبُ دَعْوَةَ الدَّاعِ إِذَا دَعَانِ فَلْيَسْتَجِيبُوا لِي وَلْيُؤْمِنُوا بِي لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْشُدُونَ. فَإِنِّي قَرِيبٌ. If they ask you, O Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, how close, how near or far is our God, Almighty Allah, tell them, I am very close to them. In fact, as we said yesterday in another verse of Al-Quran al-Kareem, he described it further by saying, وَنَحْنُ أَقْرَبُ إِلَيْهِ مِنْ حَبْلِ الْوَرِيدِ. We are closer to a man or a woman calling on us. That is the statement of Almighty Allah. مِنْ حَبْلِ الْوَرِيدِ. Closer to him or her than even his or her jugular vein. Nothing can be closer than that. Now we need to explain something so that we get correct understanding and we comprehend well the meaning of the words of Almighty Allah. If Almighty Allah says He is close, in fact, He is the closest to us, does that imply physical closeness? The answer is no. Closeness in this context does not mean that Allah is present physically in every place. That is the wrong notion, if that is the notion you have. Because He has clearly stated it in His book, in Al-Quran Al-Kareem, and in many hadith of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that where is Almighty Allah? He is over the heavens, the seven heavens. Ar-Rahmanu ala al-Arshi istawa. In another verse, A'amintum man bis-samaa. That God that is in Sama. Sama means what is above us, even what is even higher than the seven heavens. That is where Al-Arshu, the seat of Almighty Allah, where it is. So we need to have this understanding so that we don't take the meaning of the word of Almighty Allah to mean something different from what He intended. He is close, in fact, He's the closest to us. But that does not imply physical closeness. But rather, He's close to us with His knowledge. Nothing is far from Him. He's close to us with His hearing. He hears everything. He knows everything about us. So the sound belief we must have as Muslims in relation to Almighty Allah is to believe in the entirety of His words, not taking one and rejecting another. In many verses of Al-Quran Al-Kareem, many hadith of the Prophet ﷺ, He told us clearly where Allah is physically. But despite being there physically, He is closest to us with His knowledge. Wherever you may be, know that Allah is very close to you, watching you, hearing you, seeing you, and knowing everything about you. So this is what we need to explain about the word Qareeb, I am close. Meaning He is close to us with His knowledge, with His ability to know, to see, to hear everything about us. And this will also take us back to the earlier verse 185. There is another attribute of Almighty Allah. Please, let us take note of this. It is part and parcel of our belief. In fact, it is so fundamental in our faith that you should know with what you should qualify Almighty Allah. You should know what kind of attributes, what kind of quality you can use to describe Almighty Allah. It's part and parcel of our faith. If He says He's close to us, understand that closeness and do not transgress the limit. The verse before also said, Yuridullah, that's another attribute of Almighty Allah. Allah wants, Allah wishes, is part of what we should know as part of His attribute that He wishes. And whatever He wishes will come to pass. Al-Irada, Yuridullah. In some other ways, they will say Yasha. They look alike, but they are different in meaning. Irada, meaning whatever Allah wants, and it is possible. Mashi'a, Inna Allah yaf'alu ma yurid. Whenever Allah says, I do whatever I wish, whatever I want. This is the analysis according to the Muslim scholars. Literally in the Arabic language, the word yuridu, when we are to interpret it into the English language, we couldn't find another word than to say he wants, he wishes. And if we have to interpret the word yasha'u, and both are in the Quran al-Kareem. In one verse, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَفْعَلُ مَا يُرِيدُ. In another, إِنَّ اللَّهَ يَفْعَلُ مَا يَشَاءُ. Literally, they will sound as being the same. But when you look at it critically with the knowledge of Islam, you will discover the difference. The difference between yuridu, Allah wants, that want here will always apply to what is beloved to him, what is possible. But it is not everything, that is the point. Not everything that is on earth, not everything that exists is beloved to Almighty Allah. But he wishes that it should exist. Otherwise, it won't. And this is the difference. Anything, anything in existence cannot be if Allah has not wished it to be. But that doesn't mean that everything that exists is beloved, is liked to Almighty Allah. And that is why you will see a lot of things that are going against his directives. But yet, if he has not wished it to exist, it will never exist. So this is the difference between يَفْعَلُ مَا يُرِيدُ. It's an attribute of Almighty Allah. يَفْعَلُ مَا يَشَاءُ is equally an attribute of Almighty Allah. But the two are different in the sense that, as Muslims, we must believe that nothing can exist except if Allah wishes it to exist. But that does not necessarily mean that if anything exists, then Allah likes it. No. He may allow some things to happen. He may allow some things to exist for a reason best known to him. But he has told us clearly what and what are beloved to him. Let me give you a clear example. In this world, we have those people who believe in Allah, and we have those who disbelieve in Allah. Is it beloved to Almighty Allah for people to be disobedient to him? The answer is no. So irada does not apply here, but yasha'u mashi'a will apply. That it is the wish of Almighty Allah that we should have those who believe in him and those who do not believe in him. Part of the wisdom that we know, that he let us know, he made us know, in allowing that to happen, is for you to appreciate the consequence of both. It is for you to now appreciate the consequence of both believing in him or disbelieving in him. That if you believe in him, this is the reward, this is the outcome, this is the result. But if you choose not to believe in him, if you choose to be disobedient to him, also has a dire consequence. And that is part of the wisdom of Almighty Allah. So the bottom line here is, please, let us know that it is part and parcel of our faith to know what and what qualities, attributes you can use, even in describing Almighty Allah. You cannot use what he has not chosen for himself. But we as ordinary creatures of Almighty Allah, we will resist any attempt to give us a name that we don't want, isn't it? So it's not to anybody to say, this is the name I like to be calling you. I must consent to that name. And you must consent to that name or attribute. Otherwise, you will fight it. If that is the case for the creatures of Almighty Allah, come, you think you can name Almighty Allah with any name? You can call him, you can describe him in any way? No, it is very wrong. And as I said, it is very fundamental part of our faith. This is what is called Tawheedullahi bi-asma'ihi wa sifatihi. Believing in the oneness of Almighty Allah, even in his names and attributes. Know that there are names, there are attributes that are specific, that are exclusive for him. And they cannot be used for any other creature. And at the same time, in the other way, you cannot just choose on your own to name him, to describe him, to give him any attribute if he has not chosen that for himself. And logically, as I've said, if I, as a very weak creature of Almighty Allah, will not allow that to happen to me, you will not allow that for yourself, how come do you think that should be acceptable to Almighty Allah? So this is not it's not something that you hear about it very often. But since we have the opportunity, we must let you know. It's part and parcel. In fact, it's very fundamental in our faith to know what are the attributes of Almighty Allah and use those attributes and names only to call him, to beg him, to ask him. And do not invent on your own any other name. And that is why I will draw your attention by way of giving examples. Do you know it is wrong to describe Almighty Allah as being a father? Because he clearly said he is not a father to anyone. لَمْ يَلِدِ وَلَمْ يُولَدِ. This is what we are saying. It's very, very fundamental. You may think it is out of respect to describe someone as a father, but he doesn't want himself to be described that way. And you must desist from so doing. That is just by giving an example. For you to know the importance of this aspect of our faith. Allah has names chosen for himself. He has attributes he has chosen for himself. And those are the names and attributes that must be exclusively used for him. So we have two here now. You read with love. The other one is Qareeb. If he says I'm close, please know the meaning of his closeness and do not transgress the limit. Do not transgress the limit. On one occasion, somebody was arguing unnecessarily and unreasonably. How can you say Allah is not everywhere? Allah is everywhere. Then a question came to him and he couldn't answer. Then he was asked, you have just come out of a toilet. Will you think of it to say that when you were in that toilet, Allah physically was present in the toilet? This is what ulama scholars are drawing your attention to. The knowledge of Almighty Allah covers everything, including the inner part of that toilet, but it's not there physically. That is why he has said it clearly, where it is, Ar-Rahmanu al-Arsh. And for us to even further appreciate how fundamental, how important this aspect of our faith is. In the lifetime of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there was an instance of freeing a slave. You know, there are certain things, if you commit them, they are mistakes, they are no-go areas. But if you commit any of them to bail yourself out of the consequence, you have what we call kafara, to expiate for that. And a very popular kafara is to set free a slave. If you do this, you shouldn't do it, but if you mistakenly do it or ignorantly do it, then find a slave and set him or her free for the sake of Almighty Allah. And that is another thing we must be proud of. Islam was the first religion to discourage enslavement. Slavery and enslaving fellow human beings. Islam was the first religion to condemn and outlaw it. And even on many occasions, we encourage us, you committed this thing, the way you can get out of the consequences to go find a slave and set him or her free in the name of Almighty Allah. Now, somebody committed one of those errors and mistakes and approached the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam that I am ready to free a slave. But in some circumstances, it's a condition that such a slave must be a believing slave, not just any slave. Liberate him to become, instead of becoming a servant of a fellow human being, to become what? A servant of Almighty Allah. That is the wisdom. If you are liberating someone, bringing him or her out of slavery, don't put him into another slavery, a bigger slavery. To be worshiping a fellow human being, that's even worse. So that's why it's a condition that if you are freeing a slave, he or she must be a believing slave. Now, The man came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said, I have identified a particular slave, a female slave, but I am in doubt whether she is a believing slave, a believer, or a non-believer. Then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam ordered that she should be brought to him, the female slave, to be freed. We will test, we will examine her to see whether she is or she is not a believer. You know the question put to her by the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam? You will be surprised to know that. That question, even a lot of Muslims are asked today, I'm afraid they may fail. It's a simple question, but if you don't know, you can fail. You are not forbidden. When they brought that lady, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam asked her a very simple question. Ayna Allah? Where is God? If you are asked today, what will you say? It's everywhere. And that would be a great mistake. But alhamdulillah, she was really a believing slave. Her answer on that day was that Allah is where it says he is. Where did he say he is? That over the heaven. Islamah. So please, this will further underline what we were saying, that this is very important part of our faith, to know that Allah has certain names, Allah has certain attributes, we must understand them and we must use them only in calling on him and describing him and the rest of them. Qareebun ujibu da'wata da'i. I'm close and I answer whoever calls me. I hear whoever calls on me. With a condition, as we said yesterday, either that he must call. Please make it a habit, it's a good habit, to always call on Almighty Allah in whatever circumstance. Even if you don't need something for yourself, I've said it yesterday, you will find people around you who are in need. Pray for them to have what they are in need of. If you think you don't need anything, that is the worst scenario. Because some people will be deceiving themselves that actually he doesn't know what to ask for from Almighty Allah or your Creator. Then let us assuming but not conceding, that you do not have anything to ask for. You have people around you. If you don't have people around you, Nigeria as a country is in need. Make dua for Nigeria to have peace and security. If you fail to do that, as we recited the hadith yesterday, Allah is angry. مَنْ لَمْ يَسْأَلِ اللَّهَ يَغْضَبُ عَلِهِ. Whoever does not find a way of asking Almighty Allah, then surely Allah is angry on him. فَلْيَسْتَجِيبُ لِي. So these are the conditions if you want Allah to answer your prayer. If you want to call him to answer you. The first condition is you have to call him. He will not persuade you that you must come and call me. You must know it as a duty that you have a God that you must call. The second one, فَلْيَسْتَجِيبُ لِي. They are very easy and very, very fair and just conditions. You want to call on Allah to answer you, have you also answered him? This is the meaning. You want Allah to answer you. How many times has he called you? Have you ever answered him? When Adhan is being raised, 5 times a day, that's one of the ways in which Allah calls you. Do you answer him? That's the condition. If you want your want Almighty Allah to also answer you, he said, فَلْيَسْتَجِيبُ لِي. Then you have to answer me too. If I call you, if you hear that this is where Allah wants you to be, try to be there. If you are told he doesn't want you to be here, avoid being there. That is the only way you can answer him. It does not mean anything from you. Answering Almighty Allah doesn't mean you have something to give him, no. But answering him means being obedient to him. Whenever you hear that he says, then say, oh, alhamdulillah. Since Allah has said, this is what I will do. فَلْيَسْتَجِيبُ لِي. وَلْيُؤْمِنُ بِي. And you should believe in me. That's another condition. If you want to call on Mighty Allah, then you must be a believer in him. وَلْيُؤْمِنُ بِي. You must be a believer in Almighty Allah if you want to call him and you want him to answer you. If you fulfill all these conditions, لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْشُدُونَ. They surely. لَعَلَّ in the word of Almighty Allah means surely. It is in the context of human beings that لَعَلَّ will mean maybe. But لَعَلَّ in relation to Almighty Allah is certainty. If you have done all what has been mentioned here in this verse, you will be guided surely. لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْشُدُونَ. You want to be guided? Then please follow the instructions of Almighty Allah. And some of those instructions, very, very fundamental, have been mentioned in this verse. Call on Him, answer His call, believe in Him truly. And if you have done this, لَعَلَّهُمْ يَرْشُدُونَ, surely you will be one of those that are rightly guided by Almighty Allah. So this is a verse that tells us a lot about one important aspect of our life, and that is making dua, making supplication is an important part of our religion. To the extent that in a hadith of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he described dua, supplicating to Almighty Allah, as a form of worship. قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم الدعاء هو العبادة. الدعاء, supplication in itself, is a way of worshiping Almighty Allah. And that is why, let me repeat it, even if you don't have anything to ask, by mere saying, Ya Allah, what are you doing? You are worshiping. A dua in itself is a form of worship. That is why you should always engage in dua. فَلْيَسْتَجِيبُوا لِي وَلْيُؤْمِنُوا. Now, from this very hadith of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, we have an important lesson to learn. The Prophet said, "Ad-du'a is ibadah." We all know what is ibadah. Ibadah means what has a rule to be followed. And that is why me and you now, we cannot stand up at 5 minutes to six and observe Maghrib prayer. Who stops us? Are we not strong enough to do? Because the rule says it is not yet time. And even when it is time for Maghrib, we cannot observe 4 rakah. We cannot do 2. We must do exactly how many? 3. Why? Because that is what the rule says we must do. That is ibadah for you. Last month, we were not fasting, obligatory fasting. Why? Because Allah did not ask us to do. So this is what is called the ibadah. Now let us now try to apply this principle to what has been described as a form of ibadah, which is what? A dua. Please know that you cannot just manufacture dua. You cannot just invent ways, new ways of making dua. It's not allowed. Because if you are asked why, tell them because the Prophet said a dua itself is a form of ibadah. The same way that I cannot invent a new way of praying, a new way of fasting, a new way of performing pilgrimage, I have to follow the rules. The same way I have to follow the rules, even if I'm making dua. And this will explain part of what we drew our attention to yesterday. That what we witnessed today of people unnecessarily emulating, imitating what they see in other faith, in dua, in supplication, is wrong. Because dua in our own religion is a way of worshipping Almighty Allah. Allah tells you, dua in Islam must be quiet, must be silent. You don't raise your voice, you don't shout, because you want to call on Almighty Allah. Because as said in that hadith, He is neither a dumb nor a deaf God. He is an all-knowing, all-hearing God. So please, let us learn, as I mentioned yesterday, there are ethics, there are rules, there are etiquettes of dua. We've mentioned some yesterday. Maybe we add one or two more before we close today's session of just here. One of the important ethics and rules of dua is that you know that you must keep yourself within the limit allowed in dua. You must not transgress the limit even when you are calling on Almighty Allah, how do you translate the divinity? Because Allah said in the verse of Al-Qur'an al-Kareem, إِنَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ الْمُعْتَدِينَ وَدُعُوا رَبَّكُمْ تَضَرُّعًا وَخُفْيَةً إِنَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ الْمُعْتَدِينَ. Call on Almighty Allah your God. It's readily available to answer your call. But why so doing? Follow the rules. What are the rules? تَضَرُّعًا in humility. Humble yourself. Don't pray to Almighty Allah arrogantly. Who are you? He can do and undo, and you have nothing to do for that. You have nothing. You have no call to charge Almighty Allah to. If he chooses to give you, he gives you. If he chooses to deny you, he denies you. And that will be it. So please, we have to learn how to humble ourselves in every respect while calling on Almighty Allah. It amounts to arrogance somehow for somebody to be watching a television and still calling on Almighty Allah. It amounts to arrogance. You are not humbling yourself enough. You have to show that humility in you, that I am in need of your intervention, my God. He needs to see that in you. Then the second rule in the same verse, wahufiyata, don't shout. He said, I'm not a deaf God, I'm not a dumb God. You don't need to shout before I hear your call. Then the third one is what we are adding today. This was who you said it yesterday. The third one in this verse is إِنَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ الْمُعْتَدِينَ. Allah does not like whoever is transgressing the limit, crossing the boundary, even in dua. How can you cross the boundary in dua? How can you transgress the limit? In many ways. Allah has what he has told us clearly, that this is the sunnah, this is how I have planned for you to live. It's not that to live otherwise is beyond my power, but I have a program for you as my creator. This is how you should live. A good example is, if you want to get children, get married. If anybody to say, because Allah is ever powerful to do anything, please bless me with children without getting married. That's transgression. You cannot test the power of Almighty Allah. So we have to be mindful of even what you say. Whatever Allah says will never be given to a man or a woman. You mustn't ask for it. If you do, you are transgressing the limit. And that is why he said, إِنَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ الْمُعْتَدِينَ. Scholars will give many examples that if somebody should say, oh Allah, please allow me to live until the day of resurrection, not to die, because you are all important, you are powerful, you can do everything. He said he won't do that. Why asking him? He said every living creature must have a time of beginning or the life, and that life must actually come to an end at a point. So please, one way of transgressing the limit is by asking Almighty Allah to give you what he has said he won't give any man or woman. It's wrong for you to do. إِنَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ الْمُعْتَدِينَ. One of the ways of transgressing the limit in dua is for you to be searching unnecessary details for Almighty Allah. Some people will say, Allah, I want a car within 6 months. If you can't give me within 6 months, I don't need it again. Have you ever had some crazy people praying that way? They ask, Dara. Oh Allah, I want so date. And if you can't give me, then you can hold it. You cannot force him to do. It's part of way of transgressing the limit. Please, don't do that. And I will give you an example, maybe we'll close on that one. In the time of the Prophet ﷺ, one of the companions of the Prophet ﷺ overheard his own child making dua to Almighty Allah. What was the child saying? He was asking Almighty Allah to let him be among the dwellers of paradise. That's beautiful. That's Allah said some people will be in paradise. It's not something that is unattainable, so you can ask for that. But he didn't stop there. He transgressed. Then he started saying, then the kind of room that I want in paradise must measure so in length, and so in breadth, must be of so height, must have that kind of a window, and the door must look like this. Then the father grabbed him and said, this is exactly what we were warned against by the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that certainly some people will be transgressing the limits, even when they make dua. So please, it's part of what you should know as rules, ethics, and etiquette of dua, that please operate even in your prayer within the limit set by Almighty Allah, and never cross that limit. May Almighty Allah once again answer all of our prayers and grant all our requests. وصلى الله وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. Because we didn't start early enough today, that is why we added some few minutes. We still entertain questions if there are questions before we formally close the tafsir session for today. Alhamdulillah. So the time is also, we've exhausted the time already. So, and there are no questions for today. So we thank Almighty Allah. Thank Him for His favor on us, and we ask Him for more. Almighty Allah continue to have His mercy, favor upon all of us and all our families. And we ask Him to further guide the leadership of this place, the leadership of our country, to what will be pleasing to Him and what will be of benefit to every Nigerian and every stakeholder in this institute. Allahumma inna nas'aluka min al-khayri kulli, عاجله وآجله ما علمنا منه وما لم نعلم ونعوذ بك من الشر كله عاجله وآجله ما علمنا منه وما لم نعلم اللهم إنا نسألك من كل خير سألك وعبدك ونبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من كل شر عاذ منه عبدك ونبيك محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم إنا نسألك الجنة وما قرب إليها من قول أو عمل ونعوذ بك من النار وما قرب إليها من قول أو عمل وصل اللهم وسلم وبارك على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين الحمد لله وإياكم